You're listening to Live from the Back Room on 106.1 Flip FM. I'm the big boy, and I am here today with JoJo DeSalvo. JoJo, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, sir. Great to be here.
So, first of all, JoJo, not your given name, Josiah.
Yes, sir.
Which you can find on your website in case I know I've been stalking you. You know, I was joking with a mutual friend of ours about the fact that it's like, you know, you have the artist JoJo Siwa, you know, he could kind of play off her name right now. But.
Yeah, exactly. And the artist JoJo from, well, she was famous back in the early 2000s, but I got a lot fighting against
her. But you're here today because you released a new EP a couple days ago.
Yes, sir.
Kind of tell us about your music and your new album.
Yeah, so it all started a couple, I'd say this has been a few years in the making. I've only known how to play guitar for like 3 years. I started learning how to play guitar because all my family knew, and I, when we would get together, we'd do family singings and stuff like that, and I could sing, but I never got to play the guitar. So I started playing guitar, and a few months after learning how to do that, I started sitting down and writing some songs, and it took a long while before I finally made the jump to finally record some stuff and get it out there. So I did a rough mix of one of my songs and sent it to a producer in Lubbock, and he said, you know, I get sent a lot of stuff. He said, some people will send me 5-6 songs. I'm a busy man. I do not have time to listen to those songs. And me, I had worked so hard on getting this thing recorded, and it was just one song. I was all embarrassed because I didn't know if I'd sent him enough. He said, but you only sent me one song. He said, I listened to the whole thing, and I re-listened to it. He said, it was good. He said, because I get a bunch of crap that I just can't listen to. I don't have time. And he was like, the way you did it was good. So he's like, I want to work with you.
I
was like,
got to the point. I like
good.
That.
Yeah, so we did that song. It's called Ghost. It's the sort of title track for Hold My Ghost, the name of the EP. We did that song, and then we did 5 others, so 6-song EP. It's a nice little music thing.
So I want to go back a little bit in your bio here. People should know you are from the Plainview area.
Yes, sir.
Grew up here, was that right? Or you know?
Yeah. I moved from Elk City, Oklahoma, when I was 2 years old. So I would say I'm a native Texan.
You are a native Texan. Yeah, you get to count it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you actually moved away to a slightly more exotic locale for a while.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my parents have an education business, not a business, it's a nonprofit. They've started a business out of that though, but they provide education for underprivileged students in India. So they have a nonprofit set up here in the United States and a nonprofit set up in India that they work for and raise support for to educate little underprivileged children. And from that, my mom has sort of taken over the education thing, and my dad went a different route and started his own tourism company. So he runs tours for people that just want to get out and explore and see other places and do other things. He organizes trips for them and stuff like that. So it's a pretty neat little thing. And I spent most of from age of 12 to 17 and then came back to the U.S. for a little bit and then went back over there. So it's been a good part of my life there, and I would consider it my home.
India and Plainview. Those are that's quite the mix.
Yeah.
But I understand that's where you picked up the guitar, right?
Yes. So it was I had a cheap little $5 guitar that my grandpa had bought at a garage sale that I had here in the United States, and I played it for a little bit, but couldn't really ever get until I went to India and I had a lot of time on my hands, and my friend was like, hey, here, take this guitar. I was like, okay. And it's so funny because in America we have Gibson,
mm-hmm.
right? A very famous brand. In India they have Gibson. It was a little Gibson guitar. It
nice.
Was a semi-acoustic hollow body that I'm sure did not sound great, but that's what I learned on. And yeah, it was good.
So it's interesting that there's no real, you don't hear any like Indian influence in your music, but
yeah,
maybe someday you'll go the George Harrison route and release a, you know.
Yes. And there's guys like Derek Trucks. He went to school. He played with the Allman Brothers for a long time. He went to school in California at an Indian music school. And I was just talking the other day with my girlfriend about maybe going over to India and recording an album and having that Indian influence, because it's something that's really important. And a country of 1.2 billion people is a very good market.
Yeah. So. There's got to be some country music fans there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, and that's even the thing is that I sing in Hindi. So I can sing and play in Hindi. And so I sing Hindi songs all the time. And so that's something that's real. Like, I can go country, Indian cowboy type.
I see a whole new fusion for you. You know, yeah, like, yeah,
exactly.
You will be the first, you know, Hindi country artist. Yeah. Yeah. So oh, the new album is called Hold My Ghost. You released it on Monday.
Yes, sir.
And it's available pretty much any platform that you need to go looking for it, right?
Yes, sir. I was going down the checklist and yes, on all the places that I could put it. So it's everywhere, which is good.
And, you know, you being a native Texan, as we talked about, you know, being from Plainview and performing pretty regularly at the Blue Light, yeah. You know, what kind of how did your influence come into making this album? I mean, there's a specific West Texas kind of sound that I've talked to a lot of artists about,
yeah.
And I certainly hear that in the album as well. You know,
yeah.
you can tell, other than the part about you living in India for a good number of years, that you can tell that this is kind of where you're from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of great musical influences, throughout my years. I grew up like listening to all the greats, Willie Nelson and all the old country dudes and also like Etta James and Ray Charles and all sorts of types of jazz and stuff. And I don't ever think that doesn't really come through in my music as much, because I don't want to try and sound like something that I'm not.
Well, certainly not. Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to keep it within my range, and I think John Mayer said something really cool one time, and he said you find your own sound trying to sound like the people you love, and so I think being influenced by Willie Nelson and a bunch of other Texas dudes and like Flatland Cavalry out of Lubbock. Like I recorded my album in the same studio that they did their first couple albums. So I really have that. I love that sort of earthy, just down home roots type of vibe. So that's what I try to keep in my music, and yeah, try to keep that alive, keep it going.
Well, very awesome. Jojo DeSalva, we've asked you here to live from the back room this afternoon. Do you mind playing a song from your new EP?
I do not. This one is actually called Loving My Woman. And it goes along with the title track. I wrote Ghost. It was the first song I ever wrote. And I wrote it. And then 2 years later, I'm sitting down and I write this song, and I play it and I'm like, wow, that fits perfect with the song that I, and so I decided to pair these up on the EP, and it goes a little something like this here. Sweet love you. trail of clothes led straight to the bed. On the side alone, make a grown man lose his head. Ain't no time, oh, season. Ain't no rhyme or reason. Let me go on, on for killing a man, for loving my woman. Oh, the sun fell darker mid after no. I'll bet he's made it to hell by now, and I'll be there soon. But in this old story of love, drunken, oh, you know I wouldn't rewrite a single page. 'Cause I did what I had to, justice was served. But I won't go on much longer. I'll give what I deserve. Ain't no time, oh, season. Ain't no rhyme, oh, reason. Let me go home, on for killing. Loving my woman. I'll be hanging out with the sun in the west, then lay me soft and still in my Sunday bed. Ain't no time, oh, season. Ain't no rhyme, oh, reason. Let me go on, oh, 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 killing a man, killing. I killed the man for loving my woman. There you go.
You're listening to Live from the Back Room on 106.1 Flip FM. That is JoJo DeSalvo with Loving My Woman. Your album, 2 days out of the gate. But there seems to be, and this is your first album also, there seems to be kind of a theme with it that you usually don't get in a first album. You know, sometimes it's just kind of like a song here, a cover here. Yeah. Like, so your writing process, obviously, you mentioned you had a lot of free time on your hands when you were in India. Was that kind of a, where did you find the time to write and specifically write enough songs that you're able to put it kind of in a much more cohesive package than most people are able to do right out of the gate?
Yeah. So that, it's always my own writing technique has always scared me a little bit, because even I don't know what's happening most of the time. But what I'll do is I'll get an idea, like for Ghost. What sparked the idea for Ghost, the title track was my sister. I told her, I said, write a list of words, whatever those words are. I'm going to use those words to get my juices flowing and write a song. Because I had been playing with ideas of songs. Like, I'd get a cool line that I thought in my head, and I'd be like, that's really cool. I could write a song, like, and that could be the main line or whatever. And I didn't know anything about songwriting. I still don't. I just do it. But it was like I didn't know anything. So I told my sister, I said, write a list of words. My sister wrote a list of words. They were all food related. It was like broccoli cheese soup.
She was hungry that day.
Yeah, exactly. It was like chopsticks. It was all these weird things. And the list in itself, it helped me come to this weird, I don't know what it was about the list that I read all these words and thought, oh, this would make a great song. And it is a song about, I mean, losing ones that we love and still holding on to the memories of them. And it was like, had nothing to do with the list, but it just came out of me. It sparked inspiration by that list. And then, like I said, 2 years later, I'm sitting down writing another song and I think, oh, that would fit so well. And I'll get these ideas and I'll write them down. And I won't even go back and look at the ideas. I'll just remember it and be like, oh, this works perfect. And then I'll add it to a song that I've been doing, or I'll write a completely new song about it that had no relation to the line whatsoever. I just rethought of the line that was in my notes from a year ago. And so it's like, I find time all the time. And just anytime I get an idea, my thought is, I may never have this idea again, and no one else in the world may ever have this idea again. And if this idea can help someone feel better about themselves, if this idea can help someone get through a tough time, then, I mean, who am I to keep it in my mind or on my paper? Why not put it in a song and sing it, you know? So.
A lot of artists talk about they have like a notepad that they keep by their bed, or they have their notes page on their cell phone is like just filled with things. Do you have like little post-it notes? Like, what do you have? Like, you know, if you're sitting there eating a bowl of broccoli cheese soup, you know, and an idea hits you, do you got to write it down on the napkin? I mean,
pretty much. I have a lot of. Because I work at a coffee shop, so I have a lot of the tickets from the coffee shop that have just scribbles of random words on them that I'm like, yes, this and this and this, and it fits here. Okay, that goes there. And I have a ton of those. I have about 1,000 notebooks with like 3 pages filled in each one. So a ton of pages, right. But just all over all the place. Over, yeah. And it's so weird how my mind works is it's like, okay, I remember this idea. I wrote it in this notebook. Okay, it's got to be here. I'll flip to it. Boom. It's there. So it's so weird. Like, I don't – and my notes page is completely full. Yeah. So it's all real weird. It just – yeah.
So you perform fairly regularly at the Blue Light in Lubbock. And the Blue Light has been an amazing place for a lot of artists to kind of hone their style. What has it been like going there and performing it somewhere where you know, like, this is an influential place? I mean, there's places across the country that you can look at and say that was an influential place for that or that part of the world. And I certainly feel like that is a description of the Blue Light. What's it been like to be on that stage and performing?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I've played shows all over Lubbock and all over the surrounding areas. Denver City, Lake Allen Henry, Canyon, all those different places. But there's nothing like being on the stage at the Blue Light. There's just a certain feel about it, specifically the singer-songwriter night. Like, I mean, because you can do a show on a Wednesday or Thursday or headline on a Friday or Saturday, but there's something about being at the singer-songwriter night, just knowing the history of it and all the greats that have come out of it and all the greats that are there doing it.
Yeah.
Like... It's like, I mean, you should pay to see most of these people because it's like there's just the quality of writing and the quality of music that comes out of there is just crazy. And so to be given an opportunity to be on that stage, one, is completely an honor. And two, it just, there's no other feeling like it. I mean, it's a small bar stage, but it gives you the feel of like the biggest stage you'll ever play.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the sense of, yeah, it's a huge size place. It's an arena. It's not.
Right.
It's just the feeling that you get in your soul when you're up there just at a tiny little bar that shouldn't, most people would look at it and be like, oh, what's so special about that? No, it's like, it's crazy awesome.
Yeah, so one day when you're playing that big, giant arena, you can be like, oh, yeah, I remember when I used to play the blue light, you know?
And go back and play the blue
light. But there's, we've talked with artists who have said that, you know, who certainly try to get back to that sound and that feel. And when they come back into the Lubbock area, they certainly try to do that. So we'll be watching you in 20 years to see how you're doing.
Yeah, right.
So we always ask this question. It's the curveball question that I love talking to artists about, because everybody's got something kind of that they're not sure about, that they want to talk about, or that they really love talking about that people never ask them. So Jojo DeSalvo, I need to ask you, what's the one thing, what's your one thing that people never ask you about that you love talking about?
Oof. I have a bit of an obsession with Willie Nelson.
Really?
Like, not a bit of one, a major obsession with Willie Nelson. He's my all-time hero. And mostly because, I mean, my grandpa really likes Willie Nelson. And it sort of, and it didn't start, I grew up listening to him,
mm-hmm.
But my obsession with him did not start until I started playing music. And just everything that he does, I could tell you anything you want to know about his upcoming music career, his past music career, how he started out, where he lived in Texas for his first, where he was born. I can tell you a lot about Willie Nelson. I have a magazine sitting on my table at home right now that I just bought because it's like a special edition Willie Nelson. Everything is about Willie Nelson. It's great. And our mutual friend actually bought me a Willie Nelson book.
Nice.
For my birthday one year. So
it's very sweet.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, just because I know, I mean, I don't want to, yeah. Where did he briefly go to college?
Where did he briefly go to college? Okay. Willie Nelson in college. It wouldn't have been for very long at all.
It was not.
And I don't think that he did not ever get a degree.
Mm-mm, he did not.
Oh, man. I know those two things for sure. Where did he go to college? I don't know.
It's close to where he grew up, I'll tell you that.
Okay. I'd assume that it probably wouldn't be University of Texas.
It was not.
Yeah. Close to where he grew up. Oh, it was a bit of a ways, about an hour, 2 hours outside of Austin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I can't think
of it. Oh, man.
I don't know.
Sorry. He went to Baylor University for
maybe a
semester.
Okay,
and
yeah.
It did not go well.
Yeah.
Because he was Willie Nelson.
Okay, I understand that.
It was before he was like, but yeah. I only
in my book.
I only know that because I went to school there, and he was on the alumni magazine.
Oh, that's
on
so
the
cool.
cover of the alumni magazine one year, and it caused quite the controversy.
Oh my goodness!
that they had Willie Nelson on the cover, you know, like, right. How dare they, you know?
Oh,
so that geez. There's your new thing. Sorry.
Okay, now I know.
Put you on the spot. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's, I mean, I think, yeah, that's crazy.
Okay. But yeah, I totally understand that, that, cause getting to see Willie for the first time, I mean, this has been 20 years, but it was a, for lack of a better term, a religious experience because,
oh,
you know,
crazy.
You had, you know, I, much like you, had grown up, my entire family listened to him.
Yeah.
My dad's going to see him in like a couple of weeks. They're playing out in California.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing out in California. My dad's going to go see him. And I'm like, you're like 76 years old, man. How are you going to go to a concert? Well,
yeah.
The guy who's playing is like 80-something years old. So that's how.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Sorry, Dad, when you hear this.
Oh, man. I when I first started playing music, I tried to end every show with "I'll Fly Away."
Nice.
This is the greatest experience when I don't know if we're allowed to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. So when at his concert, he plays a song, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
Mm-hmm.
It's his second to last song. And so when that happens, everyone starts smoking weed.
Right.
And then he starts playing I'll Fly Away. And I was the first time I ever saw him was at Billy Bob. Everybody's like smoking, and these like cops are running through the crowd, like snagging people by their collars. And then he just starts playing I'll Fly Away. And I'm like,
wait,
yes. Yeah. Oh, man. It's just,
oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
It's great. Oh, my goodness.
So, Jojo DeSalvo, where can we find you? I mean, where do you exist on the internet that we can find your music and we find out about you?
I play shows regularly, and I normally post those on Facebook and Instagram, because those are just the most common, I think, commonly used places. I have a website, Jojo D Music, J-O-J-O-D Music, and I have a few things on there. It just shows some of, like, I have stickers as far as merch goes. I'm getting some new CDs of the EP now that it's released and out. And I'll have those and soon to have shirts and hats and stuff like that. And those are all for sale on my website. And yeah, but mostly Facebook and Instagram are my two go-to, like, letting people know what I'm doing, where I'm at, stuff like that.
Good to know. So Facebook, yeah. Instagram, not Twitter. Yeah. No carrier pigeon. Let's see what else.
No,
they're, you know, when Facebook and Instagram go down, let's see where you can find you. Well, yeah,
in person.
Okay, yeah.
I love interacting with people in person. That's my favorite. But I work at the coffee shop in Plainview.
Okay,
Broadway Brew.
Shout out to that. Yeah,
shout out to Broadway Brew. Yeah. And so you can find me there all the time.
Nice.
And I'm actually doing an EP release party this Saturday from 6 to 8.
Very cool.
Yeah. And it's hosted at the Broadway Brew. I just thought, since that was pretty much like the first place I really ever performed, they were doing an open mic and I got up and sort of did a few things and it was scary.
So I used to be a honorary member of the International Downtown Coffee Club.
Okay.
Back in the day when
back
I was
in the day, yeah.
At a other position in town. But I am curious, like, what is your, and I would always ask the baristas this, what is your least favorite coffee to have to make for somebody?
Oh, it's not even a coffee. It's a non-coffee drink, which it just really irks me.
Is it the hot chocolate that all the kids come in?
Frozen hot
chocolate. I knew it.
Always is.
Everybody says that.
I mean, and it's so easy to make, and but it's like, there's so much potential for the coffee shop, you know? And when you come in and you order a drink like that, it's like, you're not using the coffee shop to its full potential. You know?
I've been guilty of ordering that on a hot day, though.
Oh, no, me too. When I was a kid, I was the same kid. When we went to Ash, when it was still sixth grade, we would walk over from school every day and get
man.
20 belows, but good times.
Yeah. All right. Well, next time I come in there, which, you know, since I now live over here, it's kind of hard to go over as often as I once did. But next time I come over, I'm just going to get a straight drip coffee.
Oh, all, beautiful.
It's just what I do, you know. Just get the cup, get my coffee, you know, I'm good.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Jojo, we appreciate you coming in this afternoon. And,
yes, sir.
You know, certainly want to have you check out the album. Hold My Ghost. Apologize, I had scrolled down beyond the name.
You're all good.
Hold My Ghost. You can find it on wherever you listen to music, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yep. And jojodmusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that out. Jojo, can you play us a song to end the show? I guess you could do, you know, start Roll Me Up and Smoke Me and then I'll fly away.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I feel like I got to do a Willie Nelson tune.
All right. Love it.
In the twilight glow, I see her blue eyes crying in the rain. And when we kiss goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like dying ember only memories remain through the ages I'll remember blue eyes crying someday when we'll meet up yonder, we'll stroll hand in hand again in a land that knows no pardon, blue.